Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
It's 8:50 on Morning Edition, and Dave Dickey's back to bring us our pre-opening commodity market report. Good morning, Dave. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Dan, and good Monday morning, everyone. Futures prices were sharply higher in overnight trade. Will we see follow-through on the opening bell? We'll take that up in just a few minutes with Brian Maple of FC Stone and Company out of Indianapolis, Indiana. Cash hog prices today are forecast to be about steady with Friday's trade. Terminals called steady to 50 cents lower, with top prices from $37 to $40. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $37. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Friday, November 17th, negotiated swine purchases were $13,285. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $54 to $57. The weighted average $55.80, a loss of 91 cents from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $39.77 to $47, the weighted average $45.24. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $9,918, the base price range $53 to $58.50, the weighted average $56.02, a loss of 14 cents from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $39.29 to $47.50, and the weighted average was $43.74.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is meteorologist Jay Searles.
Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Dick. Thank you, or Dave. Good morning. Looks like heavier rain fell during the weekend in northern Rio Grande do Sul and Santa Catarina for Brazil, and amounts ranged from about 4 inches to 7.4 inches, resulting in some flooding, so some heavy rains down there. Rain to the immediate north and south, including southern Rio Grande do Sul and Paraná, ranged from a few hundredths of an inch to 1.75 inches, so a range on either side of those two locations. Mostly dry weather occurred from northern Minas Gerais to southern Bahia and eastern Mato Grosso and Tocantins, and while the remainder of the east, the center and south and center west crop areas received a few hundredths of an inch to three quarters of an inch of rain, and that was most frequently in that area. A few extreme amounts of 1 to 2 inches were also noted across parts of Brazil. So quite a bit of rain falling across Brazil. In summary, what will the next 2 weeks bring? It looks like Brazil will be left dry over the next 2 weeks. Excuse me, no area of Brazil will be left dry over the next 2 weeks. Rain will fall frequently and sometimes abundantly. The impact will be good for long-term crop development potential, but some field work may be slowed or stalled by the wet conditions. Drier weather may be needed for a little while in December. Rainfall is in the first week of the forecast may be less than usual from Paraná southward, and that would be good following the heavy weekend rain. Temperatures will be on the warm side, a few places climbing into the 80s and 90s, generally around Minas Gerais and Sao Paulo will experience some of the warmer temperatures. Now, as far as we head a little bit further southward into Argentina, rain fell in Cordoba, Santiago del Estero, and northern Argentina during the weekend. Coverage in major grain and oilseed producing areas was around 40%. Rainfall in Cordoba ranged from about 1/15 of an inch to 3/10 of an inch in the east half of the province, while western areas received 6/10 to 1.13 inches. Amounts in Santiago varied from a few hundredths of an inch to 6/10 of an inch in the northwest and the wettest regions. Northern Santa Fe and northern Entre Rios received about 6/10 of an inch of rain. And weather conditions across much of the nation are expected to be favorable for crop development and field work during the next 10 days. The exception may be in a few west-central areas where dryness will remain a concern until the weekend, when rain may offer some welcome relief. Showers in Cordoba and Santiago del Estero this past weekend were welcome and offered a limited amount of dryness relief. As far as the Midwest and much of the U.S. is concerned, rain, drizzle, and snow fell in the eastern Midwest during the weekend. We had some of that here. About 0.8 of an inch fell here, well, 0.5 inch in parts of the Ohio Valley. And the remainder of the Midwest was dry, with temperatures were cool, the highest temperatures mostly in the 40s and 50s. Numerous 30-degree readings occurred in the north. Lowest temperatures were mostly in the teens and a few 20s for the Midwest. So it's been kind of on the chilly side. Very little precipitation or significant rain or significant precipitation will occur this week. The first opportunity for more significant weather event may occur November 28th to the 29th, although a weak disturbance will occur during the weekend coming up, setting up a few showers. That could possibly impact us here in Illinois as well on Sunday. Late season harvesting of summer crops and planting of winter wheat will continue in the easternmost Midwest this week, where field work slipped well behind the usual pace because of wet weather earlier this autumn. Temperatures will once again warm from the 40s and 50s today and 60s Wednesday and Thursday. Cooling will occur gradually from northwest to southeast during the late week and into the weekend. High temperatures back into the 40s and 50s. So overall, it looks like mild weather will continue to feed the Midwest with mostly dry conditions. I'm meteorologist Jay Searles.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
In the Sunday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 516, up 3/4. Last trade up 11 1/4. March, 529.5, unchanged. Last trade up 11. December wheat at the Board of Trade opened at 477, up 3. Last trade up 12 1/4. March, 497.5, up 3.5. Last trade up 12 1/4. December corn opened at 356 3/4, up 1.5. Last trade up 9.5. March, 372, up 1.5. Last trade up 8.5. July, 375, down 1. Last trade up 6.5. Redline December, 339 3/4, unchanged. Last trade up 5 3/4. January beans opened at 663, up 2.5. Last trade up 14.5. March, 672.5, down 1/4. Last trade up 15. May, 680.5, down 1.5. Last trade up 15 3/4. July, 687, down 3.5. Last trade up 11. Novies in the red line, 699.25, down 1/4. Last trade up 13. December soybean meal opened at 190.40, unchanged. Last trade up $3.40. December soybean oil opened at 28.33, up 5. Last trade up 73. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Brian Maple of FC Stone & Company. He is in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, is corn going to be our leader to the upside with all commodities just following up today?
Well, I think you're going to at least try and start that away. The question is whether you had people in there overnight that bought what they needed to buy, because it was very heavy volume overnight to see this thing run up here. The fundamental news to back it up this morning is all mostly stuff that we were starting to hear talk about last week. You've got Argentina suspending any new export sales, any new export licenses, in other words, on their new crop corn crop. You've got China delaying corn shipments, which is bringing on some concern that they might default on some of these shipments they've got over there, but nobody knows that for sure. They're just saying they're delayed in trying to get the corn in place to load cargoes. Argentina, for instance, you know, it's not probably as big a deal as what it sounds on the outside, because they're going to produce roughly 17.5 million metric tons, and they've already got over 10 of that sold at this point. So they're basically just standing back and saying we need to make sure we've got enough to meet our domestic needs before we get too much more on the books. But certainly the professionals are in here buying this thing overnight, buying it up fairly hard. We didn't quite get to the contract highs. It'll be interesting to see how we trade once we get to that price level. And the other big thing is, can we hold it? Recently, every time we've gotten up there, we haven't been able to hold those highs once we got there. I'm assuming we'll get there, and I tend to think we'll break it today, but that's just my thought at this point. Over in the beans, Dave, you've got vegetable oils overseas, in some instances, up limit. So the oil's going to be the leader in the bean pit. There's some calls that the Chicago Board of Trade could be up 2 cents today, up a full limit move. in the bean oil. So if that happens, it's going to draw the beans with it. Beans are going to have that same problem as we start to approach some of those high levels that we had at 682.5 on January, for instance. How do we react once we get up to that price level? Can we maintain a close at those prices?
And then is wheat a me too, despite the recent weakness over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, wheat's got a little bit of a story out there with dryness continuing in Australia. There's some worldwide concerns. I think Russia's got some problems with their wheat. But the reality is wheat's in the follower mode. It's going to draw up just because corn and beans are on fire.
What about over at the Merck?
Well, the cattle on feed report came out on Friday. I look at that cattle on feed report, and I tend to think that the marketings, the marketings in particular, are going to keep the nearby from getting real carried away. But we should be fairly friendly on those placement numbers. I would think that the back months would find some support off of that. So, in the overall, is that we're seeing a declining number of cattle out here, and that should support that marketplace. The hog market looks like it's in a little bit of trouble to me. I think it could back off further yet.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Dave.
Brian Maple of F.C. Stone and Company. He is in Indianapolis, Indiana. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org.